This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Paul King. Paul King is the CEO of Stanford Children's Health. Stanford Children's Health is one of the best pediatric health systems, hospitals in the country, completely magnificent system. Paul, we're so thrilled to have you on today. Can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Thanks, Scott. I'm actually glad to join you here this morning. As you said, I'm Paul King, the CEO and president of Stanford Children's Health. The center of our health system is actually the Lucile Packard Children's Hospital at Stanford. But since that's a mouthful, we actually go by Stanford Children's Health. I've been here with the health system for a little over a year now. I joined here back in January of last year. So just now I'm celebrating my 1 year anniversary. I joined Stanford from the University of Michigan, where I was the executive director for their Women and Children's Hospital, which is part of their health system. I was at Michigan for about 6 years. And prior to that, I was in Children's Hospital Los Angeles, where I was there for about 18 years. Prior to joining Children's Hospital Los Angeles, I ran a sports medicine group in Los Angeles, the Curl and Job Orthopedic Clinic, which is the team doctors for most of the pro teams there in the Los Angeles area. I was recruited there from Arizona, where I worked with the Samaritan Health System, now Banner Health. And I originally joined Arizona from Rochester, Minnesota, when Mayo Clinic opened up their facility in Scottsdale. So that's my 30 years or so in about 90 seconds.
No, thank you. And you've had this magnificent career with some of the great names in healthcare on your bio, whether University of Michigan, whether you're a fan or not. Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, one of the elite pediatric institutions in the country as well. Curl and Job, one of the great, great sports medicine places in the country. Frank Job, famous surgeon and leader. What made you decide to take this opportunity at Stanford Children's Health, you know, and as you said, with the Lucile Packard, ultimately in the long run, the Packard family's donations to the Children's Hospital that helped drive that. But what made you decide to take on this challenge, and what are you most excited about with Stanford Children's Health today?
Well, it might help if I back up the clock just a little bit in terms of how did I get into healthcare generally and then how I sort of made that journey. When I was growing up as a kid, like most kids, I wanted to be, the doctor, lawyer, candlestick maker kind of journey of figuring out what you want to be when you grow up. I chose medicine because I was always fascinated by helping people. And when we think about what is at the core of medicine, I think that's it. Once I got into college and realized I really wasn't a fan of biology and chemistry and physics and all of those courses, I decided maybe my route would be somewhat different. So I had I was a business major as an undergraduate at the University of Nebraska, and I majored in economics and business administration. And one of the courses we had as a sophomore was a communications class, and we were asked to interview someone whose job we wanted in 5 years. And so I chose to interview a hospital administrator. And that was sort of a magic moment for me when I saw that business and medicine could come together in a way that made sense for me. So from that point forward, it was clear to me that my path was going to be on the healthcare management side. That's when I went to the University of Iowa for grad school. And then from there, the career that I've already outlined for you. The decision that led to me to decide to leave the University of Michigan, first of all, I was recruited here, so I was asked to come here, which is great. But leaving Michigan and coming back to California, as I said before, I was in Southern California for many years, working for the sports medicine group and children's hospital there. So getting back to California was something that was important to me. And to get back here in a way that I could join the team here at Stanford was pretty exciting. My predecessor here was Chris Dawes. Chris was pretty much the original CEO for this hospital and had been here for nearly 30 years, almost the entirety of the time that the hospital has been a separate children's hospital. So the ability to follow Chris Dawes was pretty exciting. The hospital had just opened up its newest facility, so that work had been done. And so now the task would be, how do we take the hospital to the next level? So those were some of the driving forces that led me to leave the cold of Michigan to get back to California.
Fantastic. And I don't know if in the Midwest at Michigan, they'd like to see Harbaugh leave or not, but it's really a subject for a different discussion. Right. What are you most excited about? When you look at Stanford Children's Health today, Stanford itself has sort of been a magnificent institution, remade itself into one of the most elite institutions in the country. Stanford Children's Health, in the same sort of vein, what are you most excited about when you look at what you're doing at Stanford Children's Health and what the community is doing there?
I think the one of the exciting things, and that was also one of the draws for me to come here, was being immersed in the whole infrastructure and the ecosystem of Stanford. So being embedded in a premier university and to have an excellent medical center that's part of that university is pretty exciting. So when we think about the opportunity to reach across the different schools of medicine, law, business, engineering, that just gives us an opportunity to be even better at what we do. Now, obviously, at the University of Michigan, we had similar sort of an academic sort of mix in terms of having those different schools. But what I've noticed here at Stanford is that that willingness and that desire to reach across the different schools is pretty much embedded in pretty much everything that we do. And it's not just a one-way street. So it's not just the School of Medicine and Stanford Medicine reaching out to the different schools. Those schools reach out to the School of Medicine as well. So it's embedded in the culture here. And also to be here in the Silicon Valley, sort of in the birthplace of the VCs and all of the technology companies, also adds a different flavor for what we're trying to do here, particularly as healthcare becomes more technology dependent.
Fascinating. I had a chance to spend time out in the Silicon Valley not long ago at a leaders event with Intuitive Surgical, which is exactly that mix of great technology and healthcare that you see coming out of that Silicon Valley area, and just a fascinating sort of, you know, how that whole ecosystem has developed and works. Just fascinating. When you look at Stanford Children's Health today, what do you think, and when you think of the greatest strengths, the things that lead it to be elite, what are you most proud of in the institution?
I think it's that pursuit of excellence. I think one of the things that is probably a common thread across most of particularly the academic medical centers is good is never good enough. I think even our best scientists and surgeons and medical people are still looking for a way to do it better. And in academic medicine, the whole idea is to share your better practices with your colleagues. So it's not that we want to be better because we want to be better than someone else. We want to be better for the right reasons. We want to do better patient care. We want to do better research. We want to do better teaching. And you do that by sharing your knowledge. And I think we have a good track record here at Stanford of doing exactly that. And so when we look at all of the things that are coming down the pike in terms of cell and gene therapy and precision health and precision medicine, now those are things that take on a very special purpose here in the Valley because of, once again, going back to that technology environment that we live within. So we can have an idea and sort of kick that around amongst ourselves here at the university and also have that informed by technology and industry who are also equally interested in our success. So that's pretty exciting here for this particular part of the world.
That just is fascinating. And merging all that with magnificent patient care, patient experience, fascinating sort of mission to play at the highest level in pursuit of excellence and applying that also every day operationally to patient care. Fascinating. Paul, when you think about strategy, mm-hmm. How do you think about strategy when you look at sort of a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a year-to-year plan? How do you think about strategy and how do you sort of create the vision and strategy for Stanford Children's Health? Who's included in that? How do you do that? How do you think about it?
We have several different levels of planning, as you'd imagine. Here, sort of closer to home in terms of for our own children's hospital, we have a 10-year strategic plan that we call Vision 2025. So obviously, as you do the math on that, that's only 5 years from now. So when I arrived a year ago, we were about halftime in that 10-year plan. So we had a retreat last June to refresh that strategic plan to make sure we were on the right track. The participants in our planning efforts include, of course, our board of directors, our executive leadership team, and all of the leaders of our key service lines. So when you think about heart, cancer, neurosciences, et cetera, all of those programs that tend to be part and parcel of most great children's hospitals, we have all of those physician and administrative leaders who sit with us to decide, are we doing what we need to do to be the best in the West and one of the best in the country? Our children's hospital is really only almost not quite 30 years old. But when we compare ourselves to our sister organizations in Philadelphia and Boston and Los Angeles and Texas and Chicago and Seattle, these organizations are over a century old. And the ability for Stanford to come online 30 years ago and to compete at that level of excellence is a tribute to everyone who preceded me and all of the great scientists and clinicians that are here today. And so I think those are the things when we think about strategy, how do we provide our three-part mission of care, teaching, and research in the best way that we can in the standard of Stanford excellence and preeminence? How do we do that? And so the next level of strategy beyond just our own four corners of the children's hospital is Stanford medicine. So how do we play with our adult partners in our adult hospital, Stanford Healthcare, and our School of Medicine? And because when we think about the way we're organized, all of the physicians are members of the School of Medicine faculty, and then they provide the physician resource to the adult hospital and the children's hospital. As a result of that, we need an integrated strategic plan that speaks to how we work together in the combined sense of being Stanford Medicine. Then you add a layer of strategy on top of that. How do we play within the ecosystem of Stanford University? How do we wear that brand credibly in the marketplace? And when we look at, particularly coming back to our four walls of a children's hospital, how do we take care of the slightly less than a million kids sort of in our primary service area and then the additional million kids sort of in the North Bay and East Bay area as well? So we've got about 2 million kids in our service area of the 9 million kids in California. That's sort of our audience. And of course, kids being kids, the audience we really play to are their parents and their caregivers. So how do we communicate to those parents and to those referring physicians who take care of those kids when they don't need to see us here, that when they do need us, this is the place that they need to be? So that's what we try to do from a strategy standpoint, making sure that we have those services that we need to take care of those kids when they need to see us here, and to make sure that we are accessible to them closer to home when their care needs can be met by their primary care physicians or through a creative use of technology.
No, it's a fascinating sort of take home on it, on trying to make sure both so magnificent at what you do, particularly for acute situations, more challenging situations, and having that audience of 1 million to 2 million and really their parents and caregivers knowing that, yes, for a lot of the day-to-day care, you're not necessarily coming to Stanford Children's Health, but for the important things, for when you really need us, Stanford Children's Health is here and working on that constant pursuit of excellence to be the very best, taking care of those things that you need us for. Is that a fair assessment?
And that is. And the one aspect of that I probably wasn't clear on is we do have a network of care. We have over 60 plus sites throughout the region where we do provide that care closer to home. So we do have a number of partnerships with a number of other providers in the region to make sure that they are cared for well. Closer to home when that's the most appropriate place for them to receive their care. So, but yes, you've summarized that correctly.
That's fantastic. Just fabulous. When you look at other great children's hospitals in the country, is there best practices that you ever think about, you know, they're doing that great, we should look closer to how they're doing that. And I know Stanford Children's Health itself is a great exporter of ideas, but are there other children's hospitals or colleagues that you talk to and sort of share ideas with, or anybody that you particularly admire and what they're doing and think about, yeah, we should work on developing that program here? Any of that in your leadership position?
Yes, I think one of the beautiful things about children's hospitals is we share freely and openly. Most of our children's hospitals are far enough from each other that there's friendly competition, but from a business standpoint, there's very little direct competition. So our willingness to share better practices is pretty well established. When you think about cancer, for example, you think about where cancer was 50 plus years ago, where it was pretty much a fatal disease, and now it's over 80% curable. And that's something that you don't see or you're able to say about adult cancer treatments. And it's because at children's hospitals, particularly through the Children's Oncology Group, once we figure out a better way to treat a cancer in a kid, we share that with everybody. And so when you know that this kid has that kind of cancer, you can pretty much go to any children's hospital and you'll be put on the same protocols. And when we think about the better children's hospitals in the country, and I use that word better somewhat carefully, all of them are really trying to do the same thing, which is how do we provide the best care possible for this kid? And when we figure out how to do that, we share that with our sister organizations. And when you have a combination of a bunch of those service lines, then you get to a point where you have scale. And when we look at the children's hospitals, if you look at U.S. News and World Report, which is one of the organizations that ranks, they rank a number of things, including children's hospitals. And you look at the top 10 children's hospitals, what do they do that we don't? One of the things that all of those hospitals that are ranked ahead of us would have is more scale. They're located in metropolitan areas where they may have more of a monopoly, if you will, in terms of they're the only children's hospital in that region. So a lot of things in medicine, just like in most other industries, you get better when you do more of it. And so when we look at our service lines and what we're doing, how do we make sure that we're providing the service that we can provide competently and safely at scale? And so one of the things we try to do with strategy and growth is try to find what are those areas where we need to grow to become better. And so we do that across the entire spectrum of our services, even in those areas where we're quite good. So even though we, for example, take our heart program, we're able to perform some services there that very few children's hospitals in the country can perform. But even in that program, we're looking to grow that to be even bigger and better, because not for the sake of just growth for growth's sake, but we also are an academic medical center. We need to make sure as we're training tomorrow's healers and learners and teachers that they have sufficient experience with a broad range of services, even within a deep particular service line.
Well, fantastic. As you look at leadership and leading a major institution that has these great community values and purposes, trying to care for the young, trying to care for children, and do great pursuit of excellence in doing so, what advice, any thoughts or advice that you have for other leaders and other people leading institutions?
Well, I think a part of that is just remember your core mission in terms of why you exist and why you're there. And once again, from an academic medical center standpoint, we all share the same three missions of providing excellent patient care, teaching, and doing research. And so as we think about giving advice to others who might join us in this mission, then just making sure that you don't lose track, first and foremost, of you're there for the patients and their families. And so as leaders and as administrators, as a CEO, my task is to make sure that I can empower those who are closest to the patient to do their best work. And as we think about what's happening just demographically with the baby boomer population and Gen X and all of these other sort of different populations coming through the pipeline, we're not going to have enough caregivers to do care the way we're doing it today. So we need to think differently about technology. We need to think differently about who does what, and in terms of providing an opportunity for everyone to really practice at the top of their capability. Sometimes you hear that referred to as practicing at the top of their license, but in some instances, the people that we're talking about include those who may not have a license, just in terms of their ability to contribute to the care team and the execution of these strategies that we have for achieving those three parts of our mission.
Fascinating, and just very much staying focused. And you alluded to something that's so critical, that's a huge issue over the next 10, 20, 30 years, just with the growth of the country, 325 million plus, the aging of America, the amount of children that are out there, just the sheer shortage of caregivers in the long run, and trying to figure out how to extend people, find different ways to provide care, and make sure at the heart of everything is greater care for patients, and never losing sight of that. That's the core mission, and knowing your core mission, just fantastic. One final question, Paul. How do people learn more about Stanford Children's Health and about Paul King?
Jump on our website at stanfordchildrens.org. There you'll find access to not only all the services that we provide, but also you get a deeper understanding of our leadership team and our board of directors, as well as links to the rest of the Stanford ecosystem.
Thank you very, very much, Paul, for spending time with us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.